Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
You know, politicians want to force you to cover your face as a way for them to cover their own asses.
Mark Reardon.
Does the president not know what's going on?
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Degree, his vision for this country is a 180 degree different vision than Kamala Harris, who wants to leave our borders open, who wants to continue to tax people, who wants to make sure that our enemies around the world don't fear us and our allies don't respect us.
Nobody heard it when I tripped up that audio there at the beginning. It was like take two, but I did it very quickly. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. That was Corey Lewandowski sort of talking about and previewing the debate tonight. We will have it here on this air. It's the ABC debate. But we are able to use, and Fox is sharing the audio and the video. We have a big debate watch party out of Dave and Buster's. We had, how did that thing work, by the way? That was like an RSVP list or something like that?
I don't know.
Tickets for that, were there? Because it sold out right away. I just know that you're not allowed to come. We may have to throw you down on the ground like Tyreek Hill. If you
wow.
show up there at Dave and Buster's, you're going to be in trouble. But we are full up, we're told. Do you remember, Fred? We didn't like sell tickets for that, did we?
I don't think so.
I think you had to RSVP
yeah.
or something like that.
You just
that.
Had to tell us you were coming. These things fill up. Like right away, and that certainly happened. So, Sue, are you going tonight?
I am not. I'm going to the morning show thing tomorrow at Chicken Ellie's.
I'll be out there for that. I'm gonna commit to that. Right?
Okay, good.
What does that mean? There's a 90% chance I won't be there.
That's
right?
pretty much it.
No, but I have no excuse. Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you text me in the morning and put pressure on me?
I will.
I'm
what
being
time
serious.
Is
just
it okay?
8 o'clock, 7:30. I'm up.
Okay,
I'm up
7:30. I think we'll give you more time.
Well, as soon as Alexa gets on the bus. Or I take her to school, then I'll head out there.
Okay.
But
oh, yeah, I'll
make her take the bus tomorrow. That way I can come out a little early. That'll be fun. All right. Well, where do we start here this afternoon? I think we might start with the abortion amendment because we just had some news on that. And it is going to be on the ballot. Look, I didn't want to say last night that this thing is going to be on the ballot for sure. And sometimes, certainly with me and with the gut checks, is not accurate. But this was kind of confusing overall. And the computer's making noise for me right now. That's good. Just because I know that the Constitution is very specific. I know the law is very specific. They were citing the language, if you will, on the amendment, saying that that was not constitutional. State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman was involved in the lawsuit. She came on last night with an update. And the Supreme Court had a hearing today, and they just ruled a short time ago that it will stay on the ballot in November. A majority of the 7-member court voted to reverse the ruling by the Cole County judge last week. Chris Limbaugh is the one that stepped in there. And then the other thing that happened was Jay Ashcroft, the Secretary of State, took it off his website, and it seemed like he was taking it off the ballot. But an order from the Supreme Court of Missouri directed Ashcroft to take all steps necessary to ensure Amendment 3's place on the ballot. So we're going to vote on this in Missouri. There is a part of me that just wants to kind of push forward and move forward because, people are going to do what they are on that. It's a very complicated issue. I'm pro-life. I'm not going to vote for it. I think that it's a little, certainly too wordy for me when it comes to the language. But I wouldn't have every expectation that's going to pass. I just can't see how it's not, given the fact that something like this passed in Kansas, something like this passed in Ohio. And yeah, you're going to have plenty of people that are going to vote for Josh Hawley. They're going to vote for Donald Trump, but they're also going to vote for this abortion amendment. And that's just the way it's going to go down. Now, the other side is going to make its case and say it's too extreme. I think it probably is too extreme, but that might not matter because they'll be outspent something like 5-1 or, something ridiculous like that. All right. What else is going on here this afternoon? I mentioned Tyreek Hill. Sue, this is a good test for you because you're not as dialed into the sports world, although you pay very close attention to the news. Did you by any chance watch the video of Tyreek Hill?
I have not.
Okay. So Chief Fitch is going to come on here in a couple of minutes, but let me kind of do a little bit before that so we don't have to play the audio. Do you know a little bit? You know a little bit about the story, though, and what happened, right?
Yeah, he got pulled over. Was it for no seatbelt and speeding?
Right. He didn't have a seatbelt on. So he's got like a 250, what are those McLarens? Like 250,000, maybe even more than that. He's got a very, very nice sports car. He's on his way to the stadium. By the way, he's just like, you can see the stadium in the distance.
Does he have a past with the, he has a criminal past, yes or no?
He does. He has some issues related to, mistreating women, if you will.
Now, the name. I'm not saying it's relevant to this case.
Well, he was on, he's known as the Chitty. He was on the Chiefs and then got into some of that legal trouble and then, was back. I think he was suspended. I'd have to think back to, what he did at the time and then ended up on the Dolphins eventually. But, you heard about this on Sunday morning that he's pulled over and then he's arrested and then he does make it to the game. He plays in the game, actually plays pretty well. He comes on after the game. He addresses this particular issue. The Dolphins issue a release. It's, racist America. This is why this happened. But I kind of took a wait and see approach just to see what was going to happen with the video. And I think this came out pretty much right after I left the show last night. People started texting me and I read a piece, Fred, I think I sent you originally right. The AP piece, which has a lot of, good quotes in it because they essentially just listened to the audio and they broke it down. But this is a little bit of what it sounded like.
Hey, don't knock on my window like that, man.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on?
Don't knock on my window.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on?
Don't knock on my window like that, though.
Like what?
Don't knock on my window like
why you
he's saying, don't knock on my window like that, bro, because, dude, I got an expensive car. Why you got to do that to my window? That's what he's saying.
Don't knock on my window like that.
Why you have it up? I have to knock to let you know I'm here.
Don't knock
that
on
way
my
you can
window.
Lower it and talk
just
to you.
Just get my ticket, bro, so I can go. I'm going to be late, gang. Do what you got to do.
Keep it down. Hey. Keep your window down.
So he's not really listening to the cops here. They're trying to get him to, he rolls the window down and then he rolls it back up.
Keep your window down.
Don't tell me what.
Keep your window down. I'm going to get you out of the car. As a matter of fact, get out of the car.
I didn't wait long on that one.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now.
Now, there are three cops here. They're all motorcycle cops. And they're trying to order him to get out of the car. And he seems to be, if you watch the video, he seems to be complying at that point, like getting out of the car. But then they kind of drag him out of the car.
We're not playing this game. Get out. Get out. Get out.
So there's a little bit of a struggle. He's yelling to one of his teammates because they're driving by at the same time. And one of them actually pulls up in front of them and then tries to get out of the car and he's asking the cops what's going on.
You understand? You understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
That's the end of it there. So here's a police union spokesman. That goes on, by the way. This goes on for a long time, but we can't play all of it because it goes on for a long time and there's a lot of profanity as well. He keeps saying, call Drew. That's Drew Rosenhaus, who is his agent at the time. So here's the police union. This is what they say.
The situation could have been avoided if he just complied with what the officers were asking him to do.
So I think that's true. But I also think that this is a situation where the police and the way that they reacted is in somewhat of question. Now, that's just my opinion. We're going to talk to a couple of people about this afternoon. Paul Morrill is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Of course, he is on Fox News all the time, Fox News contributor, and also the founder of the opsdesk.org, law enforcement guy, and he's one of our experts. Also, Chief Tim Fitch, former St. Louis County Police Chief, former St. Louis County Councilman, my councilman, is coming up here in just a couple of minutes with his reaction. I'm very curious because I have not exchanged messages or spoken with Chief Fitch. I think that you can certainly... This is what makes it frustrating, because in all of these situations, whether it's something that turns pretty violent or deadly, like Mike Brown and some of the other cases like George Floyd, or if it's just a traffic discrepancy, why is it so difficult just to kind of comply with what the cops are doing? Yeah. You don't. I mean, I'm just looking at it from what would happen with any of us, right? If we're sitting there, I suppose I would raise the window up if it was cold and the cop went back to the car, right? We would do that. That would not be unnatural. Or maybe you'd do it because it was hot as well. So even that in and of itself isn't problematic. I think what was problematic for the cops is that It's a tinted window. They can't see inside.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going to happen. We know that some of these things turn very violent, right? So in the cop's defense, I'm trying to look at it from different lenses.
That's actually a good point because I didn't realize that. Because I haven't watched it. Just listening to the audio, you wouldn't know why he was worried about the window. He couldn't see in.
Well, because the window, I would probably roll my window up too. I'm just kind of thinking through this in real time. If a cop pulled me over, I roll the window down and they get my license or whatever, I'm like, okay, there you go. Go do your thing. And then I'll roll my window up, especially if the weather's an issue. So I don't think that that in and of itself would be problematic, but we'll see if Chief Fitch has something on that. Now, the seatbelt thing, really? Really? I mean, I said this last week. I want people to wear their seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. It's a safety issue. But I think we got a few things to maybe worry about in the world than going up to a guy in a $250,000 car and all of a sudden citing him for the seatbelt. Maybe I'm going to find there's probably disagreement with me on some of this stuff, but good Lord. So I thought the cop overreacted. I really did. And the one thing I would say is you guys might remember this story. And I guess I'd had two encounters, and both of them perhaps are lessons. So last year, so you remember this, when I was pulled over right in front of the building here, man, I kept my mouth shut. I really did. And I had to tell myself cognitively, sound like Joe Biden there, to say nothing. Because what happened in that particular situation is while I didn't have expired tags that were 3 years old, they were 2 months old, and I did a U-turn because I think it was like Pride Fest going on or something like that, so we were blocked off going to 14th Street when I pulled out on Olive. So I do a U-turn, and when I did the U-turn, the cop in the SUV that was in front of me saw me do that, and he could tell that I didn't have a front license plate. So then when he notices my tag, he pulls me over, and he takes my license. I mean, I didn't say anything, right? I just said yes and no.
So you, yeah, I get.
But what happened was, here's what happened. So he writes, he goes, well, I wrote you 2 tickets. He goes, I wrote you a ticket for the expired tag and for not having a front license plate. Now, what I wanted to say to him is, really? And I mean, there were all kinds of things going through my head saying, hey, you know, there was a guy that was just shot in the head down the street here. We got violent things that are happening all the time. And you're going to pull me over for this and give me a ticket for not having a plate, which, by the way, I still don't. And I welcome them to pull me over as much as they want for that because it's ridiculous. But I didn't say that, right? I was respectful to the cop, even though it was a joke. And I went on. Now, in the other situation, this goes back 3 years. I was in southern Indiana. This is the only 2 times I've been pulled over in the last 10 years. And a guy lights me up. I'm with 2 friends of mine on a golf trip to Louisville in southern Indiana. And the cop pulls me over. I didn't even know why he was pulling me over. He said that I was speeding. It was a construction zone. So I said to him, well, I was going in, you know, flow of traffic. No, you weren't. But he came in super hot, super hot. And I kept cool. And I said to him, at one point, and this is before he went back to the cruiser, I said, look, I said, now I pulled the media card a little bit. I said, look, I do a radio show in St. Louis, and I talk about, you know, the cops all the time, and I'm supportive of law enforcement, but I got to be honest with you here. I think you were coming in a little too hot. And we talked about it a little bit. He went back to the car. He came back. He didn't give me a ticket. He gave me a warning, and he apologized, actually. Mm-hmm. Now, I bring that up not because I was right. I bring it up because adrenaline starts to go, right? And in many cases, the adrenaline's going on both sides. I've had to train myself to not get all amped up because I ain't going to help you. It only took me like 50 years of my life to realize that, right?
Yes.
But I understand, and this is what I saw in this Tyreek Hill thing. I saw exactly what I saw with this trooper in southern Indiana, just more extreme, because the guy certainly was amped up. He's like, wait a second, why didn't you pull over? Because I think at first I didn't realize it was me that he was pulling over.
Right.
So, look, this is one of those things that could have been avoided completely.
Yes.
And it could have been handled differently from both parties, I think. But we'll see what Chief Fitch has to say, and we'll get his thoughts on the debate tonight as well. We're off and running here for a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Good news on that Chickenelli's deal. So I knew you were worried, but My wife was listening when I dabbled with the idea of joining the morning show tomorrow morning. And she said, my daughter just joined something at her school. She goes to Stanton Elementary School in the Rockwood School District. And she is joining what they call the Stanton Singers. So it's like a little singing group. So her first Stanton Singers meeting is tomorrow at 7:20 in the morning, to which my wife said, hey, you can, this works out well for my wife too, by the way. You can drop her off at 7:20 in the morning and then head to Eureka. So I think that's what I'm going to do. That actually works out quite well. Brian Kilmeade will be with us tomorrow with a wrap up, his thoughts on what will happen tonight during the debate in Philadelphia. I'm very much looking forward to Thursday because we got to know Dr. Marty McCary very well during the pandemic and beyond. He was one of our experts here, and I love Dr. McCary from the very beginning. You know, you had Dr. Fauci. Dr. Siegel was really good on Fox, but McCary came in and said, wait a second here, and he was at Johns Hopkins. Why are we only listening to a few people when it comes to information on the pandemic? And he wasn't just ripping on Fauci or Dr. Birx or anyone, but maybe making the point very effectively that there are more voices that need to be heard here. He did a great job during the pandemic. And he's written a new book called Blind Spots, When Medicine Gets It Wrong and What It Means for Health. And I'm very curious to hear his thoughts. And he's going to be with us in the studio on Thursday. Also on Monday, Sue, I'm very excited about this. Bob Gale will be here in the studio. Bob Gale is the guy who wrote with Bob Zemeckis, Back to the Future.
No way.
Yeah, and Back to the Future, the musical, is playing at the Fox. And he's going,
that's awesome.
I think he's throwing out the first pitch on Monday at the game. I'm going to go to the game that night, but that's not why. But Bob will be here in the studio.
Exactly.
I just watched that movie with my daughter, you might remember, earlier this year. And it held up so, so well. All right. Well, we started here talking about Tyreek Hill and this video that got out from the body cams last night and the back and forth from the police union and from the Dolphins and also from, you know, law enforcement. Here, speaking of law enforcement, former St. Louis County Police Chief, former St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch back with us this afternoon. Chief, how are you? Oh, I thought he was there, and he's not there. I'm not exactly sure what happened there, Sue. If you can maybe take a gander out there. I see something that looks like it's...
Stand by.
I don't know what happened there.
Hang on.
But we'll do the intro again like it
Two? You know I love a take two.
Yeah. News News in the next hour. Also, Congresswoman Agner as well. Okay, that was very confusing. Chief, are you there?
I am here.
Testing, 1, 2. Sorry about that. Not sure what happened. All right, so I don't know if you listened to the monologue, but I kind of had mixed feelings about what I saw in this. I think Tyreek Hill was a D. I think the officer certainly was a D. You can use your imagination there. I think you know what I'm talking about. But your thoughts as law enforcement. I mean, you might be on the side that says, look, he didn't comply, so the cop was fine. But I'm curious here.
No, I'm gonna criticize both sides.
Yeah,
here. And I have seen it, and I know a lot about this police department, Mark. You've heard me talk about their staffing levels. Remember, I did their last accreditation assessment 6 months ago, and I talked about how few vacancies, 3,200 sworn officers at Miami-Dade, and they were only 3 short. So, you know, that's the question is, you know, what are they doing differently? But so I know this department well. I know they do a ton of de-escalation training. Obviously, the officers didn't employ that training during this traffic stop.
No, they did not. Not the one guy. I mean, the other two guys might have, but not the one dude.
Remember, there was at least 4 officers there. At least there were 4 motorcycles, so I assume there were 4 officers there. And really, the one guy was pretty much, instead of de-escalating, he escalated it. However, if this would have gone from the beginning the way it should have,
that's right,
where they would have followed the officer's orders. You know, the Supreme Court made that clear back in 1977 in Pennsylvania versus Mims. If an officer asks you to step out of the car, you have to, for the safety of the officer, among other things. You can't say, no, I'm not going to do it or refuse to do it. And that's really what touched this off. Now, that doesn't excuse the actions of the one officer. He was very aggressive. There's no doubt of that. And my guess is, you know, I've seen people online talking about he should lose his job and things like that. You know what? This isn't a fireable offense. It's certainly a retrainable and probably a discipline offense on that part of the officer. But in this particular case, it never should have gotten that far. And we've seen this time and time again that's how these things get started.
Should he have been cuffed in this instance and put on the ground? That's the other thing that was a little confusing to me.
Yeah, you certainly can for your protection until you feel comfortable for your safety. It's not technically an arrest. It's a detention. That's what they were doing. They were detaining him. And it sounds to me, you know, after the fact, they uncuffed him handed him his two tickets, and he went on his way. So, you know, apparently he was driving pretty bad. You know, careless and imprudent driving was one of the tickets, and the other was a no seatbelt. So it'll be interesting to see how this all ends up in court. But, you know, the director there, Stephanie Daniels, is the chief of police. She's called the director. She's a pretty thorough individual, and my guess is, you know, she started the internal affairs investigation. I think they'll do a fair assessment of this, and my guess is that officer will be disciplined.
Right, and I think that's appropriate. But let's go back to Tyreek Hill, because I do think we got to focus on his behavior just a little bit. Look, the guy's worth millions of dollars. He doesn't care about a traffic ticket, right? So he basically says, just do your thing and let me get to the game. And that's fine. He can have that attitude. But on the other hand, there might be some safety issues here, like you were indicating. It wasn't just speeding. It was careless and imprudent driving. The seatbelt thing is after the fact. That's his own deal as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, with the Dolphins coming out, making this all about systemic racism, not talking about how maybe one of their fans could have been taken out by one of their players driving into the game, I think there's some responsibility there as well.
Sure. You know what they should have done is when they got together with him, when he got to the stadium, their attorney or their PIO or whoever it might be, say, okay, now, Tyree, before we start talking about this, you know all those cops had to have body cameras on them. So let's make sure you don't say or do something that you would be embarrassed about when the video comes out. Now, I will tell you that Miami-Dade doesn't normally release video that quickly. So that when they said they were going to release the video, I said, this must show a little bit. It's not as bad as Tyree made it sound like. Although it did expose that one officer's aggressive actions.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's how cameras work. They show the good and the bad.
Sue, you remember yesterday, when we were talking about this yesterday, I told Sue, I said, just release the damn body cams because that can solve so much. And yeah, it didn't reflect well on the one officer, but that was the best thing they could have done. Get that out there and showed people what really happened.
That's right. And I'm glad they did that. And like I said, she's a pretty progressive police chief, and I don't mean that negatively. So it'd be interesting to see how the investigation comes out and what happens as far as a conclusion comes along.
So let me ask you, while I have you here, a couple of questions. Do you know if you have another update or a further update on what happened with Dennis Hancock, who replaced you on the St. Louis County Council? We had this moment from a couple of weeks ago where he was being prevented from even being on the council with this move by Sam Page. That's kind of gone quiet here the last couple of weeks. Is there an update?
That's right. The only thing I could tell you that is an update goes is he was sued by Wesley Bell in his official capacity as a councilman, and that's what a quo warranto. It's a lawsuit, basically. So tonight on the council agenda is a legislative item from Dennis Hancock asking the council to approve an outside lawyer to represent him in this case. And I know your good friend Lisa Clancy's already weighed in on that on Twitter and said, wait a minute, you know, we're going to have the taxpayers pay for this? You mean like the taxpayers paid when she tried to usurp the council chair seat that cost the county over $300,000 in lawyers' fees because she wanted to be the chair and let Rochelle Walton Gray vote past the end of her term. So, you know, Lisa Clancy. So my guess is what's going to happen is this will be dragged out for a while until the council. My guess is they're going to, the four members that are favorable to the councilman Hancock will vote in favor of that. Sam Page will probably veto it. They don't have a fifth vote to override because Ernie Trakas will always stick with Sam Page, and he dislikes Dennis Hancock anyway. So my guess is it'll be just like, you know, we had to do during the chair-vice-chair fight on the council. The judge had to order the county to provide an attorney to us, and my guess is the judge will probably have to take that up again with Dennis Hancock is order the county to pay for his attorney.
Have you popped your popcorn for the debate tonight? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting. I will be at a debate, not yours, but I'll be at a different debate watch party. But it'll be very interesting to see how this works out. But I think at the end of the day, she's had a lot of practice. If she falls on her face tonight, it's her own fault.
Oh, no kidding. That's all she's been doing.
It's not like she hasn't had a time to think of every question that could be asked if she didn't already receive them in advance. So we'll see how this goes.
I just really want, I haven't been to Europe moment either tonight. I hope that we get that or something
that
along those lines. But look, Trump's got his vulnerabilities as well. We know that. Chief, I appreciate coming on here this afternoon.
Right.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
So, you know, I think that's a fair assessment of what happened down
there. Yeah, you can't get much more fair than that.
The problem is that from a lot of the lens that people are looking through this, from the sports journalists, et cetera, it's not looking at both sides. It's only looking at the systemic racism, because the Dolphins gaslit this by releasing a statement about white supremacy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they didn't mention that word, but you know what I mean. So on the debate tonight, this is interesting. The Media Research Center... We have guests from MRC on every once in a while. Newsbusters. Vice President Harris meets Donald Trump on ABC News, and the folks at the Media Research Center says she could not have chosen a friendlier forum. They kind of did a study here. Of course. But how do you really narrow it down between CBS, ABC, and NBC, et cetera? But they looked at the big three evening newscasts. World News Tonight. David Muir is the host of World News Tonight, right? He's the debate moderator tonight as well. And they say that, here's something shocking. He's been the most positive toward Harris, the most hostile toward Trump. So they looked at 100 campaign stories that aired on World News Tonight from the day that Harris entered the race. That was July 21st through September 6th, including weekends. They found 25 clearly positive statements about Harris from reporters, anchors, voters, or other nonpartisan sources, with zero negative statements. None. That computes to a gravity-defying 100% positive spin score for the vice president. As for Trump, the analyst found that just 5 clearly positive comments versus 66 negative statements for a 7% positive spin score. I love that we're handicapping spin scores. they say, Media Research Center says, look, the way that they do this omits partisan comments like, some partisan comments as well as horse race assessments about the poll standings and prospects. So they say that while viewers certainly heard negative comments about Harris during the past 6.5 weeks, all of them were from Trump. You understand the differentiation there? They were from Trump, his campaign team, or other Republicans. There weren't reporters or nonpartisan sources that criticized Trump. There were that criticized Trump. There were none that... none that criticized her. So they also say that the... basically the reverse is true, what I just explained. So during the same weeks when they looked at CBS and NBC, there was positive coverage for Harris, mostly negative coverage for Trump, but not as extreme as they found with ABC, which is interesting. 94% positive on CBS, 71% positive on NBC.
Well,
not as good as the 100% positive press she received on ABC.
Yeah. Well, so, what did we pick?
ABC World News Tonight never labeled her as liberal. Both CBS and NBC confirmed Harris's ideology early on in the campaign, but they wouldn't even call her liberal. Unlike ABC, both CBS and NBC occasionally showed voters who oppose Harris. So, they're all in on the bias. There's no doubt about that. But I didn't think it was this extreme.
100%?
Yeah. Well, so like Chief Fitch said, look, if she screws up tonight, she's got the built-in advantage. Everywhere you look, she's not been, available for any kind of questions, so they haven't pinned her down on anything the last 8 weeks. She's had ample opportunity to prepare. She's done some campaign events, but let's face it, been locked down doing prep, with debates. And I don't know if we heard who's filling in for, Trump. We had Tulsi Gabbard, who played Kamala Harris in the debate. I was thinking about this on the way home last night, and somebody has to have the answer. I don't see Trump as the guy that sits down and does, let's do a 90-minute debate with Tulsi Gabbard as Kamala Harris and see how this goes. And
a run-through?
Real time.
No.
That's hard for me to believe, right, that he's doing anything like that. Now, is she? Do they actually go to those types of extremes?
Yes, they do.
You would think that she would. But this is going to be interesting tonight,
Mark,
and I don't know.
Are they doing the thing where, is there an audience? Can they rebut? Are they potting down? How's it going?
I think the rules are very similar. No, look, I'm going to have to double check this. I think they're very similar to what happened last time. The Harris campaign, they were trying to argue against the muted mics because they want, in theory, they want Trump to say something nasty that's caught on the microphone, and they want the back and forth because they think that they might win if there's a little, animosity, et cetera. But they're going to mute the mics, is my understanding. On the rest of the stuff, that's actually a good question. I'll do a little vetting of that as we move forward here this afternoon. And I guess it's just David Muir that's on stage. But look, built-in advantage after built-in advantage. If she doesn't, handle this pretty well tonight, then it's nobody to blame but herself. We'll continue to preview that debate. We got Ann Wagner coming up, Congresswoman Wagner, in the next hour after Sue's News.
Brilliant.
I can make it seem like I was going to press that button on purpose, but I can't come up with the excuse enough. Gosh darn it, Sue.
It's a toughie.
My brain. This is what I was going to say here. Ready for it? I was supposed to press this button here.
Mark Reardon on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
Oh, that worked out, though. I hit the post on the Rush song.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I did it to begin with. Hey, we had a listener that chimed in and said, look for tonight's debate questions to be along the lines of Kamala, spell cat. Mr. Trump, spell chrysanthemum.
Exactly.
Which I can barely say, but I thought that was good, Tom.
Yep.
Thank you very much. And Tom was able to spell chrysanthemum, which I was impressed with. Hey, you know what tomorrow is, Sue?
September the 11th.
That's right, 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rebecca Reardon's birthday. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, kind of an unfortunate birthday, but we still will celebrate. But I bring it up because this was kind of amazing to me, and it was an interesting parenting moment. And at first, I was a little concerned, but let me tell you what happened. So I, most often I drive lately, although she started the year, I'm going to take the school bus. Remember that? Well, now I'm back to taking her to school every day, which is fine because it's become part of my habit in the morning. It only takes me, 15 minutes total to drop her off. But I usually am doing a little show prep at that time, listening and monitoring to Fox News. Unless there's, school shooting stuff or something like that, I tend to, avoid that when she's in the car. And sometimes she's not even paying attention. So yesterday morning, we're driving to school. It's a pretty short drive, but they're doing some coverage on Afghanistan. On Fox News, and they mentioned the Taliban. And she says from the back seat, hey, did they just say Afghanistan? I said, yeah, they did. She goes, did they mention the Taliban? I said, yeah, why? I'm like, very curious.
Yeah.
Well, she says, we're reading a book right now. And she goes, actually, my teacher's reading it to us. So the teacher's reading the class a book. And she says, it's called Ground Zero, and it's about 9/11. And she starts telling me the story of this book. Now, let's face it, I was a little suspicious because I want to make sure that the subject matter and the way that this all is being communicated isn't wacky, radical brainwashing stuff. I've never sensed that from her elementary school. Although, when stuff like this comes up, I'm like, okay, let's check it out.
Yeah.
So I dropped her off, but I was so impressed because she started talking about how the story encompassed this little girl named Reshmina, who grew up in Afghanistan. And then you had this little boy named Brandon, who is going up to the World Trade Center to visit his dad, and the airplane slams to the tower. And she's talking about how things are on fire and there's fuel, jet fuel that's pouring down the elevator shaft. She's given me these details, Sue, that father, I was so impressed with because she remembered all of it. So I got home and then I looked this book up called Ground Zero. It's written by Alan Gratz. It seems like a really good book. And it's something that, I think it does offer a couple of different perspectives. That Reshmina character is faced with a decision on whether or not to help an American soldier. And I don't know exactly what happens there. But I'm encouraged because here we are the day before this anniversary. And let's face it, we've gotten to the point because it's happened so long ago that a lot of people aren't going to take any time to think about what happened on that devastating day.
Yeah.
So I was encouraged that a group of four, look, my daughter's only in fourth grade, to handle it. And she seems to be grasping it pretty well.
And the fact that it would be difficult, I think, as a teacher to find the right way to present this to people to kids that age. I mean,
Absolutely. And another parental instinct was, wow, this is pretty
impressive.
Gory.
Yeah.
I also thought when she was describing it, I'm like, wow, this is pretty graphic for my little delicate flower. And then I thought, you know what? These kids are tougher than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was impressed with the way that was being handled. And I was also impressed with my daughter kind of knowing so much about that and, just kind of dialed into hearing the word Afghanistan and the Taliban. And I tried to explain to her, it's still, there's still an issue out there. And I do my best to kind of give her the updates on what's happening in the news.
Good.
Within reason, if you will. We'll take a break here at the top of the hour. When we return, Sue, you will have Sue's News for a Tuesday afternoon edition. Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner is going to be back. She had, we didn't talk about this very much, but she kind of went on the injured reserve list a few weeks ago. It's been about 4 weeks. She had called me the night before the surgery. She had diverticulitis and a pretty serious case of it that required some surgery, but she's back in business and in Washington. A lot of stuff going on related to China and some other stuff related to Afghanistan. There were some hearings today, so we'll get into that. We got Steve Malloy from the Trump Pence EPA transition team, former member of that. He's with junkscience.com. I'll talk about some of this hurricane stuff that I went into yesterday on the show. All that and more on Audio Cut of the Day in the 5 o'clock hour. Fox News coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com. Brit.
I can make it seem like I was going to press that button on purpose, but I can't come up with the excuse early enough. Gosh darn it, Sue.
It's a toughie.
My brain. This is what I was going to say here. Ready for it? I was supposed to press this button here.
Mark Reardon on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
Oh, that worked out, though. I hit the post on the Rush song. Yeah. Maybe that's why I did it to begin with. Hey, we had a listener that chimed in and said, look for tonight's debate questions to be along the lines of Kamala, spell cat. Mr. Trump, spell chrysanthemum.
Exactly. Which I
can barely say, but I thought that was good, Tom.
Yep.
Thank you very much. And Tom was able to spell chrysanthemum, which I was impressed with. Hey, you know what tomorrow is, Sue?
September the 11th.
That's right, 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rebecca Reardon's birthday. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't realize.
Kind of an unfortunate birthday, but we still will celebrate. But I bring it up because this was kind of amazing to me, and it was an interesting parenting moment. And at first, I was a little concerned, but let me tell you what happened. So most often I drive lately, although she started the year, I'm going to take the school bus. Remember that? Well, now I'm back to taking her to school every day, which is fine because it's become part of my habit in the morning. It only takes me, 15 minutes total to drop her off. But I usually am doing a little show prep at that time, listening and monitoring to Fox News. Unless there's, school shooting stuff or something like that, I tend to, avoid that when she's in the car. And sometimes she's not even paying attention. So yesterday morning, we're driving to school. It's a pretty short drive, but they're doing some coverage on Afghanistan. On Fox News, and they mentioned the Taliban. And she says from the back seat, hey, did they just say Afghanistan? I said, yeah, they did. She goes, did they mention the Taliban? I said, yeah, why? I'm like, very curious.
Yeah.
Well, she says, we're reading a book right now. And she goes, actually, my teacher's reading it to us. So the teacher's reading the class a book. And she says, it's called Ground Zero, and it's about 9/11. And she starts telling me the story of this book. Now, let's face it, I was a little suspicious because I want to make sure that the subject matter and the way that this all is being communicated isn't wacky, radical, brainwashing stuff. I've never sensed that from her elementary school. Although, when stuff like this comes up, I'm like, okay, let's check it out.
Yeah.
So I dropped her off, but I was so impressed because she started talking about how the story encompassed this little girl named Reshmina, who grew up in Afghanistan, and then you had this little boy named Brandon, who is going up to the World Trade Center to visit his dad, and the airplane slammed to the tower, and she's talking about how things are on fire and there's fuel, jet fuel that's pouring down the elevator shaft. She's given me these details, Sue, that as a father, I was so impressed with because she remembered all of it. So I got home and then I looked this book up called Ground Zero. It's written by Alan Gratz. It seems like a really good book, and it's something that, I think it does offer a couple of different perspectives. That Reshmina character is faced with a decision on whether or not to help an American soldier, and I don't know exactly what happens there, but I'm encouraged because here we are the day before this anniversary. And let's face it, we've gotten to the point, because it's happened so long ago, that a lot of people aren't going to take any time to think about what happened on that devastating day.
Yeah.
So I was encouraged that a group of friends, look, my daughter's only in fourth grade, to handle it, and she seems to be grasping it pretty well.
And the fact that it would be difficult, I think, as a teacher to find the right way to present this to people to kids that age. I mean,
Absolutely. And another parental instinct was, wow, this is pretty gory.
Yeah.
I also thought when she was describing it, I'm like, wow, this is pretty graphic for my little delicate flower. And then I thought, these kids are tougher than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was impressed with the way that was being handled. And I was also impressed with my daughter kind of knowing so much about that. And, just kind of dialed into hearing the word Afghanistan and the Taliban. And I try to explain to her, it's still, there's still an issue out there. And I do my best to kind of give her the updates on what's happening in the news.
Good.
Within reason, if you will. We'll take a break here at the top of the hour. When we return, Sue, you will have Sue's News for a Tuesday afternoon edition. Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner is going to be back. She had, we didn't talk about this very much, but she kind of went on the injured reserve list a few weeks ago. It's been about 4 weeks. She had called me the night before the surgery. She had diverticulitis and a pretty serious case of it that required some surgery, but she's back in business and in Washington. A lot of stuff going on related to China and some other stuff related to Afghanistan. There were some hearings today, so we'll get into that. We got Steve Malloy from the Trump Pence EPA transition team, former member of that. He's with junkscience.com. I'll talk about some of this hurricane stuff that I went into yesterday on the show. All that and more on Audio Cut of the Day in the 5 o'clock hour. Fox News coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.